Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm all right, you know, just chilling, watching the Met game. But thank you very much for coming on the show, as always.
Yeah, no problem, man.
And equally important, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching another episode of Sports Urban Legend TV. Rather, I should say Sports Urban Legend. You know, of course, I'm William Rameau. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs and, you know, the Raptors currently having a 1-0 lead. That's a 7 in the NBA Finals. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how this impacts the upcoming NBA free agency. We're also going to talk about the current state of the Mets, Yankees, and, you know, WWE and even AEW, which, you know, had their they had their all or nothing, you know, event last week. And, of course, you know, Dean Ambrose, now known as Moxley again, because that was his name before he changed his name to Dean Ambrose when he joined WWE. We'll talk about that later on. But yeah, let's talk about the Raptors, you know, winning game one, and as you could hear, there's some, you know, fans, you know, excited. You know, in Toronto, JJ ain't the only one that's excited, you know. Apparently, the Raptors are the king of the North, you know, after that.
Yep.
That winning that game one of the finals, man, the first ever international game played outside of New York, rather I should say American soil in the NBA Finals. You know, the Raptors, you know, having the home field advantage. And they did not disappoint, you know. They definitely showed up, and they showed up big, just like Todd Frazier just homered. If you're watching the Met game, Mets are leading 3-0 now. But let's get back to the finals, man. Kawhi Leonard, man, you know, he showed up, and the rest of the team, they showed up. You know, obviously, you know, they're battling against an all-time great franchise, the Golden State Warriors, a team that hasn't, you know, a team that hasn't made it to so many playoffs, like at least 5 NBA Finals, you know, since, you know, the Bob Cousy, Bill Russell teams from what, 1966. So they're on, you know, rarefied air right now. The Warriors, man, they're trying to win 3 straight. What was it? They won 4 of their last 5. They're trying to win 5 of their last 6. But they have a little, you know, turmoil within them because, you know, their best player on the team, Kevin Durant, everybody knows he has 1 foot, you know, out the door and 1 foot, you know, in Golden State. But unfortunately, he's injured. So both of his feet aren't planted on the floor. He's on the injured list right now. And, he missed the rest of the Western Conference Finals, you know, against the Trailblazers. And of course, he missed game one of the the NBA Finals. And he's questionable for game two. And yeah, the Warriors, man, they gotta win this game to even up this series, you know, because the Raptors, they're looking really good right now, man. But, you know, obviously, the Warriors, I still think the Warriors are going to win in six. But Raptors did what they had to do. You know, they defended their home court, and they beat the you know, the favorites, you know, the Golden State Warriors, you know. So if they have a chance to win the NBA Finals, they had to win game one. And for their sake, they better win game two, because, you know, if Warriors win this game, they're back in the ball game, you know. What's your thoughts on the game one and the series so far?
Oh, man, game one was great. You know, to Raptors, you know, they came out firing, you know, and they played great defense. You know, I'm surprised that the game, you know, didn't end, wasn't as close as it was. Because, you know, Warriors looked a little, they looked a little rusty, you know, because they had that long layoff, you know,
mm-hmm.
after the Western Conference Finals. But, yeah, they looked a little rusty. They missed shots. Curry and Thompson were the only guys really scoring for them. So, yeah, I mean, on the Raptors side, yes, Siakam. I mean, Raptors, the Warriors had no – they didn't have anyone to stop him, you know. He did with Kawhi not doing much, Siakam took over that game. I think he scored like 30-something points.
Yeah, 32 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Yeah, I mean, he took control of that game. They had no answer for him. And, you know, Raptors played also good defense. And Gasol also, he was a major contributor
mm-hmm.
in that game as well. So, overall, you know, the Raptors played really well. And, you know, they did what they had to do. They defended their home court in this game one. And they're going to have to do it again tomorrow night in game two.
Yeah, you said it, man. You know, Kawhi Leonard, he only had 23 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. But Gasol, you got to give him credit. He had 20 points and 7 rebounds in the game. And they're gonna need an even better performance, because, you know, Warriors are gonna try to come back and try to avenge this 118-109 loss.
Okay.
And you know, like you said, Curry, he only had 34 points. Klay Thompson, who's, you know, a pending free agent, he had 21 points. They stopped Draymond Green from Iguodala from scoring. You know, Iguodala only had 6 points. You know, Draymond Green, he had a triple double, but he only had 10. 10 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. So, you know, they really stopped them, you know.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, they got to need definitely Thompson to shoot a little better. I mean, Curry played good. Curry played a good game. I mean, he scored over 30 points, made 3 points, but some of the other guys are going to have to step up. I mean, Iguodala, you're not going to get much scoring from him since he's known for more of his defense these days. And Draymond had a good – Draymond didn't have a bad game, but he got some foul trouble.
He had triple-double. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, they just needed a little bit more scoring out of him. I mean, obviously he's not one of the scoring threats, but, you know, he's one of the leaders of their team. You know, they needed him to put up some more points, you know, especially game one of the NBA Finals.
I think the Warriors need to play better defense. You know, they need to play better defense. They gave up a lot of open threes in the game and a lot of transitional points. So this next game, they're going to have to do a better job defending the Raptors.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. I think Warriors are gonna come back and win game two tomorrow night. If they don't, then we're definitely gonna have an interesting series with the Raptors potentially being up 2-0. But we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's shaping out to be a great series.
Sure is. already a classic. I mean, there's never been a NBA Finals in the whatchamacallit, outside of New York in Canada. So
yeah,
you know, this history is already being made. So either way you think about it, history is going to be made. The Warriors are going to either win their three-peat or the Raptors are going to win their first ever title. So,
yeah, for sure.
So this is already a NBA classic. How far this series will go, we don't know. I still think it's Warriors in six, you know. But
yeah,
we'll see.
I still think the Warriors are going to win it. I mean, I think they'll put up a better effort in game two and tie the series tomorrow night.
Yeah. The only way I think the Warriors will get eliminated is if they fall to a 3-0 hole, which I doubt that will happen. Because if they don't, let's say they do lose tomorrow night, and then they lose game three, in Golden State, the Oracle Arena, then I'm really gonna be. I mean, obviously you have to be worried if you're down 3-0, you know, so. I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll definitely have a definitive answer next week, when we do this next episode. But moving along, the Yankees, they're firing on all cylinders. You know, they won earlier today, or should I say, they won tonight. They won yesterday night. You know, they beat upon Chris Sale, yes, last night. You know, they won final score 4-1, and you know, the Yankees are doing pretty good, man. I mean, what's your thoughts? I mean, they won their ninth series in a row, first time since what, 98. But what's your thoughts on the state of the Yankees right now?
Yeah, they're playing real well. I was at the game last night, my first ever Red Sox Yankee game, and it was great. And they won that game 4-1. Yankee fans went crazy, and then went after the game, they went to a club and partied hard. I was to find Dominican chicas in the club, but that's another story. And tonight they win the game 5-3. Behind Gary Sanchez's two-run home run to put them up 5-3, and they end up winning their ninth series in a row, which they, like you said, haven't done since 1998. So, you know, they're playing very well right now, especially with guys like Stanton Judge and Didi Gregorius still out. And, you know, the thing is with this team, and this is not a knock on the big guys who are out, who hit home runs, but the guys who are in the lineup right now, you know, they don't strike out as much. I think they're like top in the majors with less strikeouts, and they make contact with the ball, you know, whether it's a two outs or men on base, you know, they're going to put the ball in play. And, you know, when you put the ball in play, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to score. And these guys like DJ LeMahieu and Ursula, you know, they make contact. And a lot of times it's good contact that leads to runs. And they've been doing that all year for us so far during this winning streak. And, yeah, I mean, the Yankees right now, they're looking good. And they put the Red Sox, I think, 9.5 games behind. Tomorrow they could go for the sweep and put them 10.5 games behind. So, you know, Yankees just keep on. They just keep on keeping on, until the big guys come back. So,
yeah,
hopefully it continues.
Mm-hmm. They gotta finish this series up.
Yeah.
And then next week they're gonna have the Subway Series. Not this week. Not this week that's coming up, but the week after that.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks they're gonna have the Subway Series between Mets and Yankees. And speaking of the Mets, they've had a crazy week, man. Like, they overall they're playing a lot better, but a few days ago, man, they had I think it was Wednesday night, they had their worst loss of the season. They were up 8-3, like in the eighth inning. They gave up, I think Familia gave up a run or two or so, made it 8-5. And I'm watching the game. I'm like, you know, the back of my mind, I'm like, this is still a ball game. So when Diaz gave up the first run, I'm like, oh, shoot, this is a two-run game, man. He might blow this game. He gives up the second guy goes deep. I'm like, oh, shoot, he's about to blow this game. The next guy hits a double that looks like it almost went out from my memory. And I'm like, oh, boy, I know they're going to blow this game. And sure enough, the only out they got in the inning was basically a sacrifice fly to score the game-winning run because they had the bases loaded, you know, they had the bases loaded with the game already tied. I think, what was it, 8-8 at that point. And, you know, of course, Diaz gave up the sac fly for the only out of the game, but it provided the game-winning run. And Diaz literally admitted that was easily his worst start of his career, which, I mean, he ain't lying at all because that was brutal. That was a brutal loss. And, you know, obviously Diaz gets the blame for him coughing up the bit. But I'm going to surprise you. I think the person who deserves the even bigger blame, if that's even humanly possible, is Mickey Callaway. And why do I say Mickey Callaway gets more of the blame? Is because this guy, he's arguably the worst manager I've ever seen. Like, I mean, it's not even close. This guy is literally a robot. I mean, I could predict his every move that he's going to make. I could tell you that this pitcher doesn't have it, and he just goes into the well, and he doesn't see that the person doesn't have it. And that's why all the pitchers that they have are ending up on the IL because he doesn't know how to manage a bullpen. For a guy who used to be a pitching coach, a great pitching coach with Cleveland, with Kluber and Bauer and all those great pitchers. And then this guy, he used to be a pitcher himself. This guy even was a bullpen pitcher himself. I think he was even a teammate with Dave Island, the pitching coach, I think in Tampa Bay, you know, when it was the Devil Rays back in the days. But he doesn't know. He does not know how to manage the bullpen. Like someone could hit two home runs in one game, and guess what? He'll sit that person because 5 days in advance he planned to give this person a day off. It doesn't matter if this person hit like 10 home runs in two games, which obviously that's practically mathematically impossible. That's a 99% chance that could never happen, but he would still bench that guy because he doesn't anticipate. He's not a strategist. He just reacts to what happens, man. And it's a joke, man. It's an utter joke. You know, I mean, how he's running the bullpen and how he's running the team. I firmly believe if they had a decent manager who's one-tenth of a strategist more than he is, we would have been a 500 team. We would have been at least over 500. We would have been at least within maybe a game or two of the division, and definitely the wild card holder at that point. Like this guy, man. I'm sorry, man. He's horrible. I thought they should have fired him before the season ended last year. And for them to bring him back, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me, you know. And if they fire him, they should hire Buck Showalter, because obviously, you know, when he leaves a team, whether it was the D-backs or the Yankees, they've always won right after he leaves, you know, with Bob Brantley and of course Joe Torre, or the other good option is Joe Girardi. You know, because this guy, he actually won the title with the Yankees. And two, he won the manager of the year with the Marlins, and they had a sub 500 team. Like, I mean, come on. Like, any of those two choices would be good, would be great for me. Would be great in my opinion. They cannot hire Jim Riggleman, and they can't hire Dusty Baker, because yes, Dusty Baker is one of the best managers in the game, but his in-game strategies are you know, leave much to the imagination as well. So I wouldn't hire him either. Is he better than Jim Riggleman? I mean, infinitely better than Jim Riggleman, because Jim Riggleman shouldn't even be on the team to begin with. This guy's an interim manager for a reason when he's not a bench coach. So to me, they should just get rid of the guy. And by the way, the Mets are leading 4-0 right now as we speak. What would you like to say about this, Mark?
He's been playing well despite, you know, the bullpen blowing it. I mean, they're scoring runs. Seems like Alonso is hitting a home run every day now.
Yeah.
But they've been playing well except the bullpen. You know, they've got to sharpen that bullpen up. Maybe, you know, might have to wait till the trading deadline, you know, to get some more guys to help out that bullpen. But, I mean, they haven't been playing that bad over the last week.
That's true, but that game, that Dodger game, left a bad taste in my mouth, because they were dominating the Dodgers, and the Dodgers was like a 20 games over 500. You know, Dodgers is one of the best teams in the National League. You know, one of the best teams in baseball, and they were showing that they were like the Mets were getting cocky, like, you know, we're on the rise, you know. But the way how they was acting, man, it was like they was cocky, like they were in 88. And unfortunately, we know what happened that year, you know. So, I mean, it just left a bad taste in my mouth. Other than that, have the Mets been playing better? Yes, they have. You know, they did lose, I think, what, three out of four to the Dodgers. They should have won. They should have split the series. Well, actually, they could have even won the series, because that game that they blew – the game that they blew, they should have won that game. And then the following game, I'm going to say something I've never said ever. Well, this is the second time I said this, because I told my father this, because he didn't see the rest of the – he didn't see the Vargas game on Thursday. I'm going to say something I've never said before. Vargas had a great game. Not a mediocre game. Not a horrible game. He pitched a great game. He won 7 innings. Yes, 7 innings. For Vargas to go 7 innings, he'd have to have 4 starts combined for him to reach 7 innings. So, yeah, this guy was pitching last year and sometimes this year, though he has pitched a lot better this year. He's been mediocre this year. But that last start he had against Ryu, man, that was his best start ever as a Met so far. You know, he went 7 innings. He struck out 5, and he allowed only 1 run. But they lost. They still lost two to nothing, which shows you the Mets scored 8 runs prior to that, and they lost. The next game, where if they would have scored 3 runs, they would have won that game. But no, they didn't score anything, and they lost 2-0. Vargas was a tough luck loser, you know, that game. They did bounce back yesterday. They held on to the lead 5-4, you know, but yeah, man, they just that Dodger game left a bad taste in my mouth. They definitely gotta turn it around, man, for sure. They are leading 4-0 right now as we speak. So that's
They're on the verge of winning this series, so that should make you feel better.
Yeah, but as you can see with the other series, the Dodger series, all, you know, it ain't over until the 27th out is recorded. You know, in the you know, within a 9th inning game, so we'll see if they can hold on to this lead. Hopefully we will, because if not, I'm gonna be talking about this next week. But shifting gears back to the NBA quickly, with the NBA, you know, the pending NBA free agency. Do you think if Durant doesn't play game 2 or the rest of this series is going to tarnish his career? Well, his Warriors career up to this point. if he leaves?
If he doesn't play game two, or if they lose game two?
Well, if he doesn't play game two, or basically this whole series, let's say if he doesn't play the rest of the series, will it tarnish his Warrior career?
Well, if he doesn't play the rest of the series
and they end up losing,
then that, you know, you can make a case that they needed Durant for this finals, and then, you know, that could strengthen, you know, the argument that, you know, Warriors actually didn't need him, you know?
Yeah.
All these naysayers saying, oh, they don't need him. You know, they won a championship without him. So the argument will be strengthened that they do need him if he doesn't return and they end up losing. Now, if he comes back and, you know, they end up winning, then, you know, still going to be just like nothing happened. Just be normal,
mm-hmm.
you know? But if he doesn't, I mean, if for some reason they lose and he doesn't come back, I think he returns to Golden State.
Yeah, I think so too.
If he comes back and they end up winning, then I could see him probably leaving.
Yeah, I'm just on the fence because I could see any scenario. For me, I'm down with any scenario that's gonna make him leave and come to the Knicks. Because it's just, yeah, either way you look at it, it's just like, you know, it's a black eye. You know what I mean? It's like he's damned if he do or damned if he don't, you know? If he comes back and they lose, it's going to be like, well, he didn't really do anything. But if they win without him, then it's like, you know, they didn't really need him. Even though, obviously, he's one of the best players in the game. It's not the best player in the game right now, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, I guess the best case scenario for him would be for them to lose game two, and then he comes back, and then they sweep the other four.
Yeah, to save them.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, what can we say? We'll just have to wait until, you know what, July 30th, since to find out, you know, if he'll come here. Or should I say June 30th? At the earliest. But, yeah, we'll see with that. And then Kawhi Leonard, man, he's definitely boosting his stock, you know, if he gets this W right here in the NBA Finals. You know, he wins the title.
Oh, yeah, if they win the title, Toronto has to find a way to bring him back. You know?
Oh, yeah, hands down. Hands down. But, yeah, lastly, let's shift to, you know, professional wrestling. Last week, you know, they had AEW had the their big Double or Nothing pay-per-view event, and you know, after the main event of the match, where Chris Jericho defeated his rival Kenny Omega, basically Dean Ambrose, now known as John Moxley, or however you want to call him. He came out and basically whooped both of their behinds, and he hit the dirty deeds. I don't know what they're gonna call the dirty deeds now. And then he tossed Kenny Omega off the there was like this platform with giant, you know, casino chips, and he basically hit the attitude adjustment, I think, off of I think Kenny Omega, I guess, showing a sign, you know, sticking it to WWE. And then he also did an interview with Chris Jericho recently. I haven't checked out the interview, but a lot of people are saying a lot of great things about the interview. And apparently, some WWE superstars really want to leave WWE and go to AEW because, you know, how the backstage politics over there is insane. There's even
Sasha Banks might want to leave, but I hear she's going to meet with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I heard that she already met with him, and apparently her opinions haven't changed. She might not even come back. Will they talk again? I would assume so, but it's insane how, you know, Sasha Banks, man, she was, you know, part of the four horsewomen, you know, they were building her up, and then ever since she, you know, she had the feud with Charlotte, they were just so one-sided. You know, when she wins, she could never defend the title back. She could never defend the title in a pay-per-view event. Like, she'd win them on a Raw episode, and then when she has to defend the title, she loses to Charlotte. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Rock and Austin feud, like how Rock would always have the title, and then Stone Cold would find a way to beat him, you know, for that title. It's like always so, you know, one-sided, you know,
right,
with these feuds. When feuds should be more 50-50-ish, you know. But nowadays, WWE, their booking is 50-50 booking for everything, whether they're jobbers or championships. So, because in their mindset, apparently, wins and loss doesn't matter, you know, which obviously doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, now ever since then, you know, Charlotte, you know, she had the epic feud with Charlotte. But I think what really killed her career was when she was feuding with Alexa Bliss, and she would win the title, I think, on Raw also, but then the pay-per-view event, she'd lose the title again. So it's like, you know, it's not just Charlotte. It's not just Charlotte. She's because you could have gave her a pass if she was just losing to Charlotte like that. But then she was losing to Alexa Bliss too. So it's like, man, she's a choke artist. You know, she's supposed to be the legit boss, but when it comes to the pay-per-views, she loses it. You know, that's just bad booking on WWE part. I mean, the state of WWE is really, really, really bad right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're giving us the people we want as champions, like Kofi Kingston, long overdue. Becky Lynch was the Becky Two Belts. I mean, she's still the Raw champion. Bayley, Charlotte defeated Becky, which is no surprise, even though I picked WWE not to be predictable, but obviously they were. So Charlotte beat Becky, which kind of ruined that feud because Becky was actually getting the upper hand recently, and then they had to kill the momentum between her and Charlotte, you know. And then, you know, Bayley cashed in on Charlotte, which now Charlotte is now a former 9-time women's champion, you know, and Bayley is the champion. So Bayley is the champion. Becky Lynch is a champion. Kofi Kingston is a champion. Seth Rollins is a champion. But the way how they're booking these, you know, the WWE, it's like they've given us the winners we want, but the product is so bad. It's like, and the pay-per-view events are, like, so long. It's like, is it even worth it? Because, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be some screwy, dumb ending to the match. Maybe it'll end in a draw or some lame finish. You can't get emotionally invested to it, you know? And I think that's where AEW comes in with, you know, Dean Ambrose jumping ship. They got Chris Jericho already. You know, Kenny Omega is one of their top stars. And then here's one thing that could make them potentially take over WWE as a top wrestling company for maybe a year or two. Not overall, because WWE is, you know, is the company when you think of professional wrestling, even though WWE doesn't consider itself a professional wrestling company anymore. They consider themselves sports entertainment. But one thing that would definitely go in their favor is if CM Punk came out of retirement and joined AEW. I think that would definitely shift the tide.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would definitely shift the tide to AEW's favor, in my opinion.
That'd be great.
It would be. Because WWE needs to be shaken, man. Like, you know what I mean? They haven't been shaken since the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars. And, you know, they're making these fake feuds, like Sting versus Triple H, WCW versus WWE. No one in their right mind was thinking that. Everybody was firmly behind Sting. Nobody was rooting for Triple H. You know what I mean? It's like only in Vince and Triple H's head is, oh boy, the last person in WCW is going to go against Triple H. Nobody wanted to see that match. Everybody wanted to see Sting versus Undertaker, even though both of these guys are now 50 years old now. But we wanted to see that dream match. I mean, there is a dream match that is coming up with Undertaker. He's finally going to fight Goldberg. You know, at that superstar showdown, which kind of made me PO because they, in the promo they said a WrestleMania equivalent pay-per-view event. I'm like, come on. I know you want to sell the pay-per-view event. You know what I'm saying?
Don't compare it to WrestleMania.
Don't compare it to WrestleMania. Come on now. Let's be real here. Not even SummerSlam is the closest thing to WrestleMania, but they've never said Summer. The only thing they say is like maybe it's WrestleMania of the summertime. That's the only thing that they've said that could say it's close to a WrestleMania event. And we as fans are like, okay, we understand that. It is the closest thing we have to WrestleMania. But to say a glorified house show is a WrestleMania caliber event, come on now. Let's be real here. Let's be real here. Come on. I know you think the fans are dumb because we shell out our money for your product and you just give us a watered-down product. But come on now. Don't insult our intelligence any further.
Yeah. And how many times has Randy Orton and Triple H to fight? I mean, come on. That's been done. How many times? Come on. End that feud already. When is the Super Showdown anyway?
I think it's this Friday coming up.
Okay. Like at midnight or something?
Nah, I think early in the morning.
Because,
you know, it's in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, their time is different than ours. The only match that interests me is the Goldberg Undertaker match. Even though they're both, you know, past their prime, but you know, it'd be nice to see how a match with them would be, which is what they should have did with Sting and him. But for whatever reason, they're not giving us that match. Or Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. These are dream matches that we should have saw. They already blew it with Kurt Angle and Daniel Bryan. Both of these guys came out of retirement recently, and they still didn't even fight each other. They even had like both of the guys sit down and talk about how their imaginary match would be, and they still didn't even do it. Like, I mean, come on, WWE, you ruined so many opportunities of dream matches that never will happen. Ideally, Rock and Shawn Michaels. I mean, there's so many matches. Same Undertaker. I mean, like, there's so many matches. But when you put on Raw and SmackDown, what do you see? You see Baron Corbin fighting the same people over and over again. And guess what? He's going to compete for the Universal title against Seth Rollins. Because apparently they don't have nobody else to put for him to compete against. And,
you
yeah.
Know, coincidentally, I just turned to Viceland. I don't know if you have that channel or if, you know, have that channel. But there's a wrestling documentary with former wrestling superstar MVP on it right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another guy who, if AEW gets him, that would change the tide too. Where is he now? Let me check right now quickly. Where is he? Let's see if I can find it quickly. Let's see. Come on. Let's see. see, where is this guy now? He's in Ring of Honor. He's in Ring of Honor. I think they have a good relationship with AEW. So, I mean, it's not mathematically possible he could, I guess, fight in a match with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, yeah, if him and CM Punk goes over there, man, that would definitely turn the tide.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So a lot of these WWE guys are jumping ship anyway. But what was I gonna say? Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Just check out my show Saturdays at 10, and come back here check out Sports Urban Legend every 11 on your Box Up Radio.
You're the man. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, and of course check out my YouTube channel Sports Urban Legend TV. And of course, check out IMAC every Saturdays at 10. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace, everybody.